Last week we spoke about one of the Ramazim for the word Elul, that it's the Rosh HaTevis of Ani L'Daydi V'Daydi Li. That's the Mishnah Berurah brings one of the Ramazim to the word Elul. I want to talk about the second Ramaz to the word Elul that's brought in the Mishnah Berurah this week. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Pasuk says, Umal Hashem Aleikecha Es Levavcha Ve'es Levav Zarecha. That when Klal Yisrael does tshuva, I didn't find the exact place where the pasuk is, but it's in this week's parasha, I believe. It's in Nitzavim Vayelech. It's in Nitzavim. Umal Hashem Aleikecha Es Levavcha Ve'es Levav Zarecha means Umal is Lashon of Milah, of circumcision. That Hashem will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your children. In other words, that Hashem will open up your hearts and penetrate and be able to get through. We have sometimes a thick insulation, a thick barrier on our hearts between us and Hashem. That after we do tshuva, Umal Hashem Aleikecha, Hashem will cut open, will cut away the barriers. Umal Hashem Aleikecha Es Levavcha V'Es Levav Zarecha. Perek Lamed Pasuk Vav. So that's now Es Levavcha V'Es Levav Arosh HaTevis Elul. Es Levavcha V'Es Levav is Elul. Again, I can't say enough times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no constraints. There's nothing holding him back. There's no poetic restrictions. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had wanted somehow that the concept of Umal Hashem should be in the Rosh HaTevis Elul, he could have worked it out that way. But the Rosh HaTevis Elul, the hint to the word Elul, is specifically in the words, your hearts and the hearts of, and then the first meaning is your children. I wonder what's so special about those specific words. Your hearts and the hearts of. So it should be on your hearts. But the remez is, Hashem will open up your hearts and the hearts of, and those words are the remez to Elul. That's first of all. And second of all, a kasha that Reb Tzadik asks the kasha, but it's really an obvious question. When Hashem says, I'm going to open up your heart and the hearts of your children, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to Klal Yisrael, to all of Klal Yisrael, all generations. So who's the children? Hashem's speaking to the children too. If the parents and the children are standing there together, so you don't say, I'm going to do it to you and to your children, you're addressing the children as well. Should have just said, Umal Hashem Aleikecha Es Levavcha. So what are you going to tell me? He's talking about children that are ketanim, that they're young children? So then they don't need to do tshuva. Obviously we're talking about gedolim, they need tshuva. So we're talking about gedolim, so Hashem is talking to them too. So what's the meaning of the simple meaning of the pasuk? Umal Hashem Aleikecha Es Levavcha, your heart and the hearts of your children. Who is Hashem talking to? Okay, so let's move to Parshas Nitzavim. Some very interesting psukim. If you could see it inside, I think it would make a big difference in understanding. But either way, it would be okay. In the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Klal Yisrael into a covenant, into a bris with him. I think Rashi says there are three brisos. This is one of the times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Klal Yisrael close to him in a contract, in a covenant that we join together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the psukim go through from the beginning of the parasha. All the yidden are gathered together, the children, the women, the geirim, the leaders, all the yidden are gathered together. And Hashem says, I'm bringing you la'avrucha in Chav Tes Yud Aleph, the first pasuk before Sheni. That's 11. La'avrucha bevris Hashem alekecha uva alasai, to pass you in the, you know, to pass you through, to bring you in to the covenant of Hashem your God. Asher Hashem alekecha kari simcha b'ayayim, that Hashem is creating today, this bris Hashem is forming today. And then Pasuk Yud Beis, the next Pasuk, goes on to say that the purpose is that Hashem is making you today to be a nation for Him, Hu Yeh Lecha Le'Elokim, and so on. Now let's look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'loy itchem levadchem anoichi kairet es habris hazois v'yasa ola hazois. And not with you alone am I making this covenant, am I making this bris. Not just you. Ki es asher yesh noi po imanu oimet hayoim. Rather, those who exist here, standing here today, in other words, the people that are here today, the Eis Asher Einenu Po Imanu Hayom, and also those who are not here today. I'm also making the bris with those that are not here today. That's very strange, because the Psukim in the beginning of the parasha say that everyone was there. The women, the children, the leaders, the water carriers, everybody was there. So what does it mean that I'm making a bris with those that are here and those that are not here? So Rashi says, and those that are not here, the af im doyrois ha'asidim liyos, even with generations that are yet in the future. Notice Hashem is bringing into the covenant generations, unborn generations, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, us. And we weren't born at that time, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu included us in that bris. We're signed on. From before we were born, we're already signed on to that bris. And so, Einenu Pai, we weren't there. We're Einenu Pai, we weren't there. And we're signed on to that bris. Now, the Kli Yakar brings... The Kli Yakar here said brings b'shem all the Mefarshim, he says, or a lot of the Mefarshim, that have the tremendous difficulty with this. How is it a bris is a contract? Can you imagine a kid is born and you say, "Oh, you're signed onto a contract"? How did I get signed onto a contract? I didn't sign the contract. How do you bring into a bris children that aren't born? How does that happen? Tremendous difficulty that the Mefarshim struggle with. How does Hashem say that not only are you coming into a bris with me, but your children are also coming, they're signing on to this bris? How do you sign children onto the bris? So I think Rabbeinu Bachai is coming to answer this question. Rabbeinu Bachai says, I'll read it, he writes one line about this, and he says the following. He says, V'omar kein, and Hashem says this, because a father is a root, and his children are the branches that come out from that root, that are going to come out from the strength of that root. The root has within it the potential to bring out all these branches, meaning all these children. And therefore, the root, which contains within it already the kayach of all the children after it, can bring all the children into the bris because it's all included. In other words, within the father is already included the potential for all of his children. So therefore, when he brings himself into the bris, he's also bringing all of his potential into the bris. And part of his potential is the children that are going to come out from him. It seems clear that Rabbeinu Bachai is addressing this problem. He had this problem. How do you bring children into bris if they're not born? And he's answering that even though they're not born, but they're included in the father. And the truth is, I was very happy to find that you see that that's the... I hate using the word, but just to be short, I'll use it. You see that that's the theme of these psukim. Because if you keep reading further on in the psukim, he says that I'm worried that maybe there's a man or a woman, a family or a shevet, whose heart is turning away from Hashem. You look later on in Pasuk Yud-Zayin 17. Maybe there'll be a root, he says, Pen yesh b'chem shoyresh, maybe there'll be a root, Pyre Rosh V'lana, Rashi says like that has like a bad seed, a bad growth. And the idea of the Pesukim is that Hashem says, it's true right now you're serving me 100%. But maybe there's a root, maybe there's a something in the foundation that's a little bit off-center, which could have terrible results later on. So we see that later on in the Hemshech of the Psukim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was concerning himself now, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerning himself now with the roots, that you are the roots of Klal Yisrael. So it's appropriate at this time to say you're bringing your children into the bris, because you are the root, they are the branches that come out of that root. It's the same hashkafa, it's the same theme. Okay, Rabbeinu Bachai is coming to answer this question. But I still think it needs more beer. Because still, how do we look at this? Are the children considered separate? Or are they considered part of the father? If they're considered separate, so then they can't be brought into the contract with the father. If they're considered part of the father, so why do we need a separate pasuk, including the children? Rabbeinu Bachaya starts addressing the problem, but he doesn't fully address it. If the reason why I can bring my children into a bris is because they're part of me, so why do I need a separate pasuk about them? They're included in me. Rabbeinu Bachaya still didn't deal with the issue of the pasuk. The pasuk says two separate things. Those that are standing here today are brought into the bris. And not only that, but the children that are going to come out from you are also included in the bris. How could that be? Rabbeinu Bachaya says, because they're included in you. Okay, so then they were included in the first half of the pasuk. That's what I want to try to discover. The Gemara says something that until with the last 100 years we couldn't appreciate fully. Now we can really appreciate it. The Gemara points out somewhere that if someone, Rachmana Litzlan, someone becomes a cripple and he has children, his children are not cripples. If someone is blind, many, many, many blind people have children that are seeing children. A deaf person can have a child who's a hearing child. One of my relatives married a girl. Both of her parents are completely deaf. She's a completely normal, completely hearing person. It's amazing. How did two deaf parents give birth to a hearing child? Don't the kaychas, don't the capacity that the children have come from the parents? So if both parents are deaf, how could the child be a hearing child? So now that we know a little bit about science and technology, we can answer in scientific terms. Because if someone is blind, or someone is a cripple, or someone is deaf, Rahman al-Islam, it doesn't mean that in his chromosomes and in his genes there are the genes for blindness or deafness. It means that something happened to the outward manifestation of those abilities. So a person can have perfect chromosomes, perfect genes, but something happened to him. There was an accident, or you know, even if he was born with it, but it comes from something that happened to the Vlad, or as he gets older, or an accident, or something that affects the outward manifestation of the kaychas that exist within him. But someone hurts his hand, it doesn't mean that all his children will be born with hurt hands, because the kayach for healthy hands is still within him, even though the outward manifestation of it is damaged in him. And this is a fact that everyone, you look around the world, you see it's a pashut fact. It's a part of the bria. Anybody that has, someone has a problem, it doesn't mean that he's going to give birth to children that have specifically that problem. If a person has a problem that's in his chromosomes, it's in his genes, so then it does go over to the children. The features and so on that are part of the map of the cells of a person, that does get handed over to a person, to his children. So that means that if we look at the physical nature of a person, it's a fascinating thing. It means there's really two levels. There's the physical nature of the person, and then there's a much deeper part of the person that's his map. It's his plan. It's the floor plan for the person. Even if the outward manifestation of his capacities are damaged, but as long as the floor plan is still intact, when he has children, that floor plan will create children that are 100% intact. I read a book about understanding DNA. Fascinating, fascinating book. And I think what I'm saying is scientifically acceptable, scientifically valid. It's true in Ruchnius also, l'chayra, that a person could make changes in his life that affect him, but they don't affect him so deeply that when he has children, the neshama of his children is different. We know that just like the body of our children is a mixture of the father and the mother, of the kaychas of the father and the mother, so too the neshama of the person and the midas of the person also comes from the father and the mother. Neshama always comes from the Rabbanu Shalom. But based on the madrega of the father and the mother, that's what forms the specific madrega of a child's neshama. So that means that if we use this physical mashal to look at the spiritual, we could say that a person could, let's say, for example, let's give an example. Let's say a person is a tremendous, tremendous anuf. He's a tremendous, he's a humble person. And one day he makes a mistake, and he's, Gaiva gets into his head, and he makes a mistake, and he does something, an incident happens that he expresses tremendous, you know, tremendous Gaiva. It's tremendously presumptuous or conceited, and he acts like tremendous Gaiva. That's a mistake, he has to do tshuva for that, that's a terrible thing. But his genes are still that he's an anav. The outward manifestation of his anava was damaged because of outward circumstances. In other words, just like in the physical, you can say that in Ruchnius also, that there's different levels to my changing in Ruchnius. Or, unfortunately, we've seen the other way very often, that people outwardly change in their spiritual observances. They outwardly change. They outwardly daven or learn or do mitzvahs and so on, but it doesn't affect them deeply. And if it doesn't affect them deeply enough, it means it's not affecting the genes. It's not affecting, that's why sometimes a person can make changes, and after a while, the changes just evaporate. The changes just, they don't sustain themselves because the changes didn't hit deep enough. They were external changes. Somebody was in my house this Shabbos. Yochanan was there as well. And we were talking about, we were talking about the Bali Tshuva. And we were talking about how a certain person that Yochanan was telling us about, a certain person that Yochanan knows, drastically changed his way of life. Drastically changed his way of life at some point in his life. And there was another bacher there that was curious if it's possible that if you would look at this person, would you be able to see, this person's a chassidish yid right now, would you be able to see that he was once an Indian? He once lived like an Indian. Would you be able to see that if you looked at him? And as Yochanan could recall, I right away reacted to that. I didn't like the question. It's very easy to change from ponytail to payas. That's easy. That's the easy part. That's external. That's not touching the inside. That's easy. The fact that a guy could look like an Indian in Tavshin Samach Dalet and could look like a Hasidish Yid in Tavshin Samach Hey, that's not a trick. That's the easy part. Changing the neshama, that's the hard part. If this person was zeichet to go through the radical changes deep inside of him, of being mishabit, of devoting himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's something to be in awe from. The fact that his hairstyle is different is meaningless. And what if you could tell that he was an Indian? What if you can't tell? It's irrelevant. It's meaningless. That's the external. That doesn't affect the... That's not changing the floor plan. That's not changing the genes. If the person worked on himself, that he looks at the Ribbono Shel Olam as the creator of the world, and he davens three times a day to a Ribbono Shel Olam, and he learns, and he raises his children that way, he affected his genes, his ruchnius, his spiritual genes. That's fantastic. So getting back to the pasuk, Umol Hashem es lekecha, elekecha es levavcha v'yes levav zarecha. I want to suggest that the pshat is like this. Of course Hashem is talking to the whole Klal Yisrael. We don't have to include the children. Hashem's talking to the children too. Hashem is telling you how deep of a change you have to make. You have to make such a deep change that it's in the genes. It'll get passed on to the next generation. Umol Hashem elekecha es levavcha, Hashem will open up your heart, v'es levav zarecha, which will affect the hearts of your children. And the hearts of your children as well. In other words, not that it's two separate things, but by Hashem opening up your heart to such a deep level that it affects the floor plan, it affects the chromosomes, so then the identity of my children is going to be different. That's why the Rosh HaTevis of Elul are an Es Levavcha ve'Es Levav. That's why it's those Rosh HaTevis. Because the Es Levavcha ve'Es Levav, we asked, it says, Amol Hashem Lekecha, Es Levavcha ve'Es Levav Zarecha, that Hashem will open up your heart and the hearts of your children, and the hearts of your children is the next thing. The Rosh HaTevis of Elul should be that Hashem will open up your heart. Why is it Es Levavcha ve'Es Levav? Because the Es Levav and the hearts of your children is a description, is an explanation on the Es Levavcha. We should be zeicha to do tshuva to the point that the tshuva affects us so deeply that it changes our nature to the extent that our children will be different. Just like physically, if a person takes a haircut, it doesn't mean his children will be born with short hair. If a person buys a suit, it doesn't mean his children will be born with a nice suit. When you change the externals, it doesn't affect the children. It's only when you change the internals, if you change the chromosomes, you change the genes, then it could be it'll affect the next generation. So in Ruchnius is also a way of saying that I want this to be the deepest change possible, is that I want it to be a change that will carry on to the next generation. So the Es Levav, and the hearts of your children, is a description and an explanation of Umal Hashem Elokecha Es Levavcha. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva. The Rambam says that there's a minig of Balei Tshuva to change their names. The Balei Tshuva, we don't find it nowadays, but the Balei Tshuva changed their names. And says the reason why they changed their names is Kaloimar, is to announce, Ani Acher, I'm somebody else. Ve'einani Oysa Yoish, I'm not that person that did those Averis. I'm a new identity. I've changed myself at the deepest level. I've changed my chromosomes. I was wondering, it's not for me to say, but I could throw out the idea. The Svarim tell us, and our Gedolim have pointed out to us many instances where this is true, that what's going on in the world very often is a hint to things that are going on in the pneumius and the neshama of the world, on the inside. We've talked about this at different times, different mishalim. But I'm wondering, we learn in this week's parasha, it says that there's going to reach a time where humanity as a whole is going to do tshuva. V'shaftar Hashem Elokecha, there's going to be a time that there's going to be a tremendous hisayros, the Ramban says, and a tremendous awakening, and humanity is going to return to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And I'm wondering if the fact that we live in a generation where the technology is getting closer and closer and closer to be able to actually change genes and chromosomes, which was never before in history such a thing. They could change, they could heal, they could do surgeries and everything until this time in history. But it's only in the last few years that there's such a thing, gene therapy and all kinds of ideas of how they can actually change human chromosomes to heal chromosomal diseases. It hasn't been done, but they're moving closer and closer and closer. If that effort to move towards that goal physically is a little bit of a remez to us of what's going to go on in a spiritual sense, that we're reaching a point where humanity it's no longer going to be outward changes. There's going to be a mass change. Humanity is going to change. The chromosomes of humanity are going to change. We're going to all become Ovdei Hashem. The Yetzirah will be banished. A massive internal change is waiting to happen. This is what I think is the Pshan Rabbeinu Bechaya that we asked on. We asked like this. We said, the Pasuk says, "As Hashem Yeshnei Poyimanu Oymed Hayoyim, as Hashem Einenu Poyimanu Hayoyim." That Hashem is making a covenant, Hashem is making a bris with those that are here today and with those that are not here today. Those that are not here today, the measure says, is the people that aren't born. How could you be machnes into a bris, people that aren't born? So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, because you are the root of those children. The father is the root, is the bekayach of the branches of the peiros that come out afterwards. So we ask, so if that's true, then it's included in the first half of the pasuk. So that's what I think that there's a message here. I think there's a message that Hashem is saying, I'm bringing you into a bris. I want this bris to affect you on a very, very deep level. I want to bring in not just your external life into the bris with me. I want you to be as internally as possible attached to me. I want the bris to be with, you know, a person can make a deal. If I make a deal with someone, he's going to cut my grass every 2 weeks. So I made a deal with him, but the person didn't make a deal with my essence, with my ani, with who I am, with my neshama. It's an outward, it's an external deal, it's an external contract. You know, I'll pay you this and this amount of money a month, and you cut my grass when it gets long. It's a contract also, it's a bris, it's a contract. But it's not a deep contract. somebody gets married, that type of a contract, that's much deeper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that the contract, the bond that we're creating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't just be an hour. Okay, we'll do the mitzvah. I'll put on tefillin. Okay, fine, I'll put on tefillin every morning. No, it should affect me on the deepest levels. So that's what Hashem says. I'm making a bris. I'm not just making the bris with you. I'm making the bris with your children. How do you make a bris with my children? They weren't born yet. Because there's a part of you very, very deep in your chromosomes, that what happens to you, it will affect your children. And I want you to accept that bris on such a deep level that it will actually affect your children. And that's the Pshana Rabbeinu Bechaya. In other words, if it would have just said, I'm making a covenant with you, so we don't have this message. We don't have this message that I'm making the covenant with you on such a deep level that your children will be different, that your children are included in the bris. Lamashal, someone becomes Jewish. Someone becomes Jewish. So from that, let's use the mashal of an isha, of a woman, because that's more the difference. If a woman becomes Jewish, so before she became Jewish, her children are goyim. Now that she became Jewish, her children are yidden. That means that becoming Jewish affected her on a very, very, very deep level. It's not just that she was mishabed herself, she contracted herself, that she's going to do what Hashem says. She actually changed something so deep inside of her that the neshama of her children will be different. Her child is now a Jew. And her future children. Her future children are now Jewish. That's a tremendous deep change. It's not just an external commitment. It's a deep change. My essence is different. The proof that my essence is different is that if I have a child now, that child is going to be different. The same thing is true of any time Klal Yisrael goes into a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it does tshuva. If we do tshuva on the deepest levels, it's so deep that I affected my chromosomes. I affected my whole metzias. If I affect my whole metzias, it affects my children as well. And that's what Rabbeinu Bechaya means. It says this because the father is the shayrish, the father is the root, and the children are anafim ha'asidim latzais mikayach ha'shayrish, and the children are the branches that are going to come out from that root. And therefore, if the root commits itself to the bris, the branches get brought along with it. But only if the root commits itself to the bris on a level that affects his children. That's what we said, a blind person could still have seeing children. It doesn't affect himself on that deep level. A cripple could still have walking children. It's only if you affect on the deepest genetics of the essence of a person does it affect his children. And that's the type of bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to commit ourselves to, that it should affect ourselves on the deepest, deepest levels. This is a tremendous goal in tshuva. It's not an easy thing. The Bali Musa talk about this, that part of the goal, and this is a goal, this is something to strive for, this is not really not easy, is that even if we can, in one area, not just that I do it differently, but that my whole attitude towards it is different. My whole feeling about it is different. I'm a different person in regard to that thing. I heard a great story this week from Gregory. Gregory is he's a yid that has been painting in yeshiva for the last couple of weeks. And I was standing outside the dining room with him a couple of days ago, and there was a guy smoking. So he started to scream at the guy that he should stop smoking, it's not healthy. So then he turned to me and he's told me, I also used to smoke, he told me. He used to smoke very, very, very much. He lived in Russia, he said he used to smoke very, very, very much. And he actually tried to stop smoking when he was in Russia. His doctor told him he should stop smoking. So he said he started drinking vodka, which was not much healthier. He said he couldn't stop smoking. He could not stop smoking. Came to America. One time, he had a little granddaughter. And one time he told his granddaughter to give him a kiss. And she said, I don't want to go near you, you smell. That he hasn't touched a cigarette since then. Since then he hasn't touched a cigarette, he told me. He went back to his doctor. His doctor said, I don't understand. After this, you just like, you stop smoking, that's it? He said, I'm not going to be a grandfather whose granddaughter doesn't want to kiss him. You understand what happened over here is that there was his little granddaughter, without realizing it, said something that affected him much deeper than any doctor's warnings and any of his own feelings about his health. It affected him on the genetic level, on the deepest level, I'm not going to be that kind of grandfather. It changed his whole perception of what smoking does to him. It changed his whole perception of how he's perceived by his family. It changed everything for him in one instant. For us, you know, to do tshuva doesn't take an instant. But that type of idea, that from one second to the next he was able to stop smoking, not because he suddenly had more willpower, but because his whole perception changed. On the deepest levels, his perception changed. That's umol Hashem alakecha es levavcha ve'es levav zarecha. Is that einani oisei ha'ish? I'm a different person. Okay, Rabbeinu Bachai goes on and brings another pshat. It's not another pshat, but it's like an addition from Chazal on this pasuk. I think we can learn another very important lesson from it, so I want to say it over. Rabbeinu Bachai brings that it says that those that are here today, those that are here are standing here today, and those that are not here today. So we said that Chazal say it means that he's making a bris with the children that aren't yet born. The Medrash actually says that he's making that the children that were not yet born were there, that the neshamas of the unborn children stood there. Lefi sheha neshamos hayu sham, v'haguf adayin lo nivra. In other words, that not just that because our fathers were there, we're committed to that bris, but that each and every one of us stood there and we accepted that bris. Our neshamas stood there, our souls stood there and accepted the bris, even though we didn't have bodies at the time. That's what the Medrash says. Now, if you look back at the pasuk, it's very, very, very meductic, it's very clear. Because you read the pasuk, it says, Ki es asher yeshnoi po imanu oimet hayoim. Rather, those that are here standing with us today, lefnei Hashem alekeinu, in front of Hashem, v'es asher inanu po imanu hayoim, and those that are not here today. So if you read it the way the Medrash wants to read it, it's not v'es asher inanu po imanu hayoim, and those that are not here today. That's not how to read it. It's v'es asher inanu, and those that were not yet born, po imanu hayoim, they're here with us today. Beautiful. V'es asher inanu, and those that are not, were not here, po imanu hayoim, they're here with us today. Zok the Medrash, that's why it doesn't say oimed. It doesn't say oimed, standing, means that they're physically standing there. But the neshamas were not physically standing there. So it says like this. Those that exist, k'es asher yeshnai, those that exist, are po imanu oimed hayoim, are standing physically with us today. V'es asher einenu, and those that weren't born yet, imanu hayoim, they're with us today, but they're not standing with us today. That's what the Medrash says. Beautiful. Problem is that there's another Medrash. And this Medrash is the Targum Yonis HaMenuziel. And he says something that the Medrash Tanchuma doesn't bring. He says that Ki Es Asher Yeshnai Po Imanu Oimed Hayoim is not referring to those that are here today. And if you read the Pesukim, you'll see that he has a very good point. Because the Pesuk before says, not just with you am I making this bris, but rather with you and with your children. Hey, you just said with me. It's a little bit repetitive. So the Targum Yonison, if you read the Targum Yonison learns, not just with you am I making this bris, but rather with everyone that ever lived, all the neshamas that ever lived are here today, and all the neshamas that will ever live are here today. So the Targum Yonison is reading it differently than the Medrash Tanchuma. He's saying, not just with you am I making the bris, rather, ki eis asher yeshnai, everyone that ever existed, all the neshamas, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all the neshamas that ever existed, poi imanu oimed hayoim, is standing here today. Ki eis asher einenu, and all those that weren't yet born, poi imanu hayoim, is here with us today. So it's both talking about neshamas. The problem is, if it's both talking about neshamas, so how come the neshamas that lived already are standing here today, and the neshamas that didn't live yet are with us today, but they're not standing? How do you read the pasuk? Before, when we were saying like the Medrash Tanchum, it was very good. Those that are here physically are standing here today, and those that are not here physically are with us today. But according to the Targum Yonison, it's both referring to neshamas. Those that used to live, that were once on the world, are standing here today. And those that didn't live yet, they're here today, but they're not standing. Why aren't they standing? The answer is based on a kliyakar in Parshas Achrimos. There's a lot of places to draw a makar from, but I'll just draw from there. He says, V'yas mishpatai tasu, v'yas chukaisai tishmaru lolechas bohem. You should do the mitzvahs, the lechazim, to go in them. You should go through life with the Torah. Lelechaz, you should go through life. Lelechaz, to walk. And he brings a pasuk, there's a pasuk in Zechariah, that says, V'nosati lecha mehalchim bein ha'oimdim. I will make you walkers amongst the standers. What's a walker and what's a stander? So the Mefarshim say, malachim are standers, and human beings are walkers. Why? Because a malach is on a very, very, very high madrega. He's mamish, there's nothing more holy than a malach. But he can't go any higher than he is. He's standing. Wherever he is, he's on the highest levels, but he's oimdim, he's standing. A person, even if he's on a low level, but he can graduate from one level to the next level. So v'nosati lecha mahalchem bein ha'emdim, I'm going to make you walkers, people, amongst malachim, amongst the angels. Angels can't steig, they can't grow. People can grow. So that means you could have a malach who's on a very, very high level, and a person who's on a very low level, but there's a certain advantage to the person that the person can every year be a little higher than he was the year before. The malach is on a very high level, but he's always exactly on that level. I think that might be the pshat, if I could just put in for a half a second, that might be the pshat, according to the, I'm going to shoot now across the Torah to Parshas Vayera for a second. According to the Ramban, when Avraham Avinu saw the three angels coming towards him, he saw the three malachim coming towards him, he knew that they were malachim, according to the Ramban. So I think that with this concept, it's hinted in the pasuk that he knew that they were malachim. Because it says that he saw three men standing over him. Avram Sofim and Nitzavim Olof standing over him. That's a malach. He's standing. He can't steig. He's over me. He's Olof. He's on top of me. He's on a much higher level than me. But he's Nitzav. He's standing. He's not a steiger. He's not a grower. He saw three malachim. Nitzavim Olof. Rabbi say, someone who's not yet born or someone who's living could steig. But once someone leaves this world, the time of steiging is over. Now you become an oimed. Now you're a stander. So that's the pshat in the pasuk. Those neshamas that lived already are with us oimed hayoim. They're standing. They're standing. They once lived. They finished their avodah already. Now they're getting their reward and their schar and all the benefits of their work. But the time of growth is over. When we leave the world, the time of growth is over. Those that weren't yet born, we're not going to call them standing. They're not standing. Those that weren't yet born, a world of opportunity awaits them to grow, to be mahalchim, to walk through this life, and every year to add more milah than the year before. So I think that the first Rabbeinu Bachaya that we said is a tremendous message in terms of how deep tshuva has to penetrate. The second part of Rabbeinu Bachaya that we added to with the Targum Yonis and Menuzil, I think is ma'oyer to us to strengthen us, to be machazik us, that it doesn't matter what level we're on in Avodas Hashem. That's not the point. It doesn't matter what level we're on in terms of scholarship, in terms of midos, in terms of fighting our yetar. The point is not what level we're on. The point is that we should be walkers. The point is that every year we should walk a few steps more than we did the year before. That's the mark of an Adam. V'nosati lecha mahalchem bein ha'oimdim. That's the mark of an Adam. Is today a little bit better than yesterday? Is this year a little bit better than last year? Is these few months a little bit better than the few months before? Then I'm a walker. Then I'm a goer. Then I'm not oimei. That's what the pasuk says. Ki asher yeshnoi poi imanu. Ki asher yeshnoi. Those that were already are poi. They're here. Imanu with us. Oimei hayoim. They're standing. They're finished. They're steiging. The years of steiging are over for them. But those that weren't born yet, they're here with us today. They're not standing. They're walking. Because there's a world of steiging that still awaits them.